Welcome back to the Digital Soup Podcast, a hilariously geeky podcast that challenges what it means to be a geek today. Now, as always, we're bringing you all sorts of information and conversations to enhance your geeky lifestyle, including a breakdown of the recent Apple event, the Nintendo Switch owners finally getting online play with some classic gaming fun, and we have a listener-submitted super fight in the Geek Off for the final battle of round one. So pull up a chair and get your geek on, and don't forget to stick around for our unsigned music spotlight featuring a track from the Irish rock band Elevation Falls. Jason, hurry up, would you? Adam and I are waiting to get this thing started.
All right, I'm here, Dave. Don't worry. All right, just run a little late. That's it. All right, now focus, Jason. Focus, and welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast missing more field goals than Daniel Carlson.
Oh.
Every other podcast I listened to made at least two out of three. We missed them all, man.
But brutal. You know who's not missing Daniel Carlson? The Minnesota Vikings, because his butt is on the street working for Foot Locker, and now Dan Bailey is the kicker.
No, not for Foot Locker. He has a hot dog cart, and he's selling those footlongs. Yeah. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, that was brutal.
Oh, it was, man. Freaking ties. What is up with these ties, man?
So much effort into tying the game up so that we could go into OT, yep. And then we get down to it. I mean, come on. I don't even know sports ball, and I was like, no.
Adam was like, he was like punching the television. He was so mad.
I wish I understood this better, but I know this isn't good.
This is the season of the tie. Dave and I were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
The first 2 weeks, we already have some ties. Let's see if we get the next 14 weeks with ties every week.
I want to see it happen, but for those that are interested in the sports ball, as Adam put it, football history for you, never – in a season, has there been three ties in a season? We are 2 weeks in. There's been two already.
Here's we're going to break a record.
Here's our fingers crossed for next week.
Yeah.
Well, there's a game on tonight. We're recording Monday night. Maybe tonight we'll do it two ties.
But isn't
in one
that
week.
Considered this week? Is yeah, Monday night?
Two ties in guess, 1 week would still be three in a year.
Yeah. I was thinking 1 a week now. We're doing. Never mind. All right. Well, hey, to all the new listeners just joining us, my name is Jason, and joining me in this beautiful virtual studio that we have built with $1.7 million is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Hi.
Whoa, Kermit the Frog's in town.
Either that or Adam is saying it's going hi-ho. Well because he's high.
I don't know where I am.
I never understood that. I mean, Miss Piggy was available, yet Kermit was always going for the prostitutes.
Because he said hi-ho.
Yeah.
Oh no, don't do that.
Oh, Kermit.
No, don't say like that.
Don't say like that.
Oh man,
what?
I'm reading an article on ESPN right now about them letting Carlson go.
Yeah, he was booted next day. See ya. I wouldn't want to be ya.
He knew it too.
Well, I watched a clip of it. You know, his exit interview. Anyways, he took full blame for it. Well, who else was? I mean, laces were out, so it wasn't that.
Finkel and Einhorn.
That was the best meme I saw right after the game on Vikings Twitter. Someone posted, you know, the Finkel is Einhorn is Finkel thing, but except for they did it with Blair Walsh and Daniel Carlson. Carlson is Walsh. Walsh is Carlson. One wide left, one wide right.
Carlson, man.
He's a rookie. Probably played his last NFL game. He had a big shot at it, got drafted in the fifth round, and then choked on a big one.
Yeah, well, come February, maybe he'll be playing in the AAF. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. Or XFL the following year.
Only if they widen the goalposts.
they don't kick in those leagues.
And maybe put them on the 20-yard line.
Oh, rough. I felt bad for him, but come on, 35 yards. I couldn't have done it, but.
No, but we don't get paid to do it. We don't practice that every single day. He probably takes what? Probably 100, 200 kicks every day practicing.
I don't know if it's that many, but probably, you know, hundreds a week. I'll say this, back when I was playing football still through high school and college, I could consistently hit a 35, 40-yard field goal.
No, not me. Even in my prime.
I was an offensive lineman,
you
so
never
I
had
never
a prime.
I never got to
kick. I did. I was seven.
The only prime you've got is Amazon.
Yeah, maybe Spotify. I don't know.
So Carlson's out like the old iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Apple new vent news and discussions and all the new gear.
Did you say new vent news?
I hope I didn't.
New I hope you did, because I'm going to clip that sucker.
Well, and then you're going to slow-mo it, too. So I'm like, new
that's perfect.
I don't even have to now.
Now you have to speed up what I just said and see if it sounds right.
No, you'll still sound a little Forrest Gump.
Well, I mean, every tech podcast is probably talking about the Apple iPhone, you know, the newest iPhone.
Well,
XS,
not the anti-Apple podcast, probably.
That's, well, maybe they are.
Here's another thing that sucks.
Yeah, probably. Here's three new things that suck. You know what does suck, though, is the naming scheme.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
So we want to dive into this and start with the iPhones. Why don't we just start there, right? So,
yeah, go for
Jason,
it.
What I know the naming scheme you said is horrible. Fill us in. What did they do here? What is Apple up to?
I really don't know, because I'm very confused from the get-go here, because I did not see anywhere in here where they're talking about the iPhone 9. Did you guys see anything about the iPhone 9?
Nope. They skipped that last generation, remember?
Well, no, they didn't, you know, because, well, they did, but I can never call the iPhone X the iPhone 10. It doesn't make any sense to me, because now with this naming scheme, now we have the iPhone 10S. That makes sense. I mean,
but
we
you
had
see
the
what they're saying? You said it right there, 10S. Do you see how Apple wants us to refer to this phone?
Yeah, as the 10.
No, as the iPhone XS. I'm not even kidding. We've got it linked up here in an article from Wired, and that's what they're saying. The 10S is pronounced tennis. I mean,
is this the Serena Williams model?
Yeah. What is this? Xbox or something?
So is the iPhone XR the iPhone Tenor?
Yeah. The iPhone
If we got three of them, we could be the three tenors. Luciano Pavarotti, the other guy.
Bocelli?
The other guy after.
I'm holding out for the iPhone Soprano.
How would that be spelled?
Ring, ring. I got a call for you.
Well, no, ring, ring. I'm not talking about the Sopranos. I'm talking about Soprano.
Soprano alto.
Oh, I got a phone.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you get all gangsta on us there, Adam. No. We're talking about the iPhone.
Look at those
roots.
Yeah,
but not the
kind
of gangsta you're used to.
gangsta. But, I mean, I don't know what I think about this.
So iPhone XS. XS, XS. Okay. XS is probably more like it when you look at the price, but... What's the deal?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I'm clever tonight. So the XS is basically taking the place of this year's, the current generation's iPhone X. It's basically the straight successor to the iPhone X is what they're saying. It's the same size, everything else, and just the bigger processor and all that stuff. So kind of it's very similar to what they've been doing all along. Not a huge surprise on that one, because this really is just, you know, the same as the 5 and then the 5S, 6, 6S, 7, you know, et cetera. Now, they didn't do that with the 8.
What about the NXS?
Well. Oh, that would be awesome.
I was going to make a joke, but I suddenly went blank on their songs.
Never Tear Us Apart, Need You Tonight, New Sensation.
Yeah, see, you know, did you.
Well, not they got
to,
that one.
I'm going to give you all. I'm going to let you
down. That was in excess, right?
No.
It's been played in excess.
Yes, correct. No, their last album, do you remember when they did the open audition for a new lead singer? Nope. Do you remember that a few years back?
No, I don't, actually.
Number of years back. They had a singing show competition, actually. What was it called?
On television?
Yep.
I don't even remember this.
Oh, gosh. I'm looking it up right now, but they basically got an all-new
Rockstar in excess.
Yeah, that's what it was.
2005.
Yeah, and it was actually pretty interesting. And the guy that won, that album they put out, I forget the name of the album, but it was actually a very solid album. It's one that I'll still listen to every now and then. I don't want to say time and time again, but... every now and then I will throw that in there. I think they've moved on from that singer now. You know, they did put out an album, and it actually was very good. Some really good tunes on there. So not to derail us into NXS land, but
well, we've totally left Appleville, so now we're in NXS land.
Yeah, and we'll come back because there's plenty of X's and S's in Apple land. That if you haven't seen it, why can't I find the name of the album? I don't know, but they had quite a few good tunes. I do suggest that you guys go give it a listen because if you're into that type of music, kind of the pop slash, it's not really rock, kind of rock, but soft rock pop, I guess. What would you call it? It's actually really, really well done. And
Sop for soft rock.
Yeah, maybe.
Soft pop.
The show was interesting, though, because they had Brooke Burke hosted, but Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist Dave Navarro was on the show, helped, you know, host the show. And so when the guy that won, I think it was J.D. Fortune was his name.
I thought you were talking about Power and Associates.
No. J.D. Pond. Oh, I'm a little slow, I guess, but no, it was a lot of fun though. No joke. I mean, it really kind of put NXS back on the map for a while because it was a very, very good album from top to bottom. I know I'm looking up their discography here, which is weird, and it sent me to their awards, which I don't care about that, but I can't remember. It was the name of the album Switch, maybe.
No, that was Will Smith. He had that song Switch. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was NXS Switch was the name of the album. Some of the songs on there were called Pretty Vegas, Afterglow, Devil's Party, Perfect Strangers, etc.
I love that show, Balky Bartokomous.
Oh, yep. I wish they'd
Hello, cousin.
That. Yeah. Cousin Larry.
So this is like our podcast is like my internet search where it's, I'm going to start looking at Apple and then I see something. I go, I wonder who won NXS Rockstar.
Yeah, right.
I should find out the bio of that person right now.
Right. And next thing you know, we're talking about Newtonian physics or something.
Yeah. Pretty soon it's 4 a.m. and I'm looking at alien abduction videos.
One of the coolest things, though, about the XS and the XS Max, now they both come with dual lens cameras, which are capable of recording 4K video. And they have a smart HDR feature. But the Apple tax, we've always talked about the Apple tax, and we've noticed that you go from 16 gigabytes to 32 gigabytes, you're talking a couple $100 in the phone world to jump up that high. You know,
that's the thing. You see, it's no longer 32, 64, 128.
I know. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
Half a terabyte.
512 gigabytes.
That's a lot of storage.
It is. And that has to be half the cost of the phone itself, probably.
Well, probably.
For sure.
I mean, when you look at this, I have a lot of friends online, and this isn't a
big none in real life.
None in real life. No,
I got all my friends online.
No, I've got this is true.
Where's my grilled cheese sandwich?
Go ask one of your online friends to make it for you.
Yeah,
loser.
Even right now, Jason, you and I are online today.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so pathetic. But no, a lot of friends, when this announcement came out, they were absolutely raving about the fact that, heck yeah, I ordered the 512 gigs. My phone is always full and this and that. Can't fit anything on it. I do so much of this and this and this.
They'll
and all I can think is like, I know I've got the bigger size, the biggest I could get of the iPhone 8.
Oh, braggart.
Well, no, I did it because I was shooting some 4K video. And I did have times when I'd be in the field shooting video at that time, back when I was doing that, and I'd run out of space on my phone. So I picked up, you know, a device called a RAV4 Power or something or other.
Toyota?
Yeah, no, I was going to say.
Not a RAV4.
Full drive?
It was a RAV power brick. It basically was a charger, and it let me transfer to an SD card.
I was running out of space, so I picked myself up a RAV4.
Well, yeah, Highlander, because there can be only one. No, but it was a...
my microwave was cooking really, really slow, so I bought myself a new TV.
Did you say your microwave?
My microwave. I was doing a funny voice. Like a southern, you know, like hick.
Oh, it was funny.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It was supposed to have been.
I picked up that device, paid like $50 for it, thought it was a steal of a thing. And maybe it wasn't that much. Maybe it was like 30. And
the all-new Audi A8.
They have some other high-end devices out there that people will swear by called
Dynamic OLED. Taillights.
called a Narbox, G-N-A-R-B-O-X. Same kind of thing. It's portable storage, a portable hard drive. that you can
Does it also interrupt you continually like we do?
Maybe. I don't know. I just keep talking as it goes. But it those things are beautiful. I'd love to have them, but they're real expensive. And then we talked about it a week or two ago. That little device was like $13 or $15 that you plug into the lightning port and, or as Adam says, the thunder hole. And you get to just transfer to an SD card there. And, you can get devices like that very simply. But the only thing I could think of is unless you were in a situation where you were out in the field creating a ton of content where you needed to make sure and you just for whatever reason refused to buy one of these additional devices to transfer off your phone, why can't people plug that cable in from their phone to their computer and just move this stuff over and make it part of your ritual? If you're a photographer or a filmmaker, when you go shoot footage on your cameras, you don't let it sit on your camera and just keep buying new memory cards. Let it sit on SD cards. You transfer that over to a hard drive. Why don't people do it the same thing on their phone?
Dave, I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, go for it.
That's exactly what my wife does. I copy it over to her PC, but she still wants to keep a copy on the cards, and we keep buying new cards.
I don't get it. I mean,
I don't
either. More power to you if that's what you do, but I mean, for me, transfer it to a hard drive like you would any other stuff. Get your proper backups and everything else. Now, I know there are some cases with like people that shoot weddings and stuff.
I just delete it and give up.
Yeah, I burn my camera, throw it in the garbage. What is this nonsense?
I urinate on mine. Why?
I find it helps the transferring speed
Calvin.
I urinate on it. Yeah. Darn Ford. when you I know a lot of people will shoot weddings and events like that.
Yeah, but then it ruins their day, and then they probably go to prison anyway.
Maybe. I don't when they pee on it, you mean?
No, when they shoot weddings.
No, I didn't mean shoot like that.
It'll be like a red wedding, a modern red wedding.
Right, yeah. They'll photograph weddings, though, and they'll get home, they'll dump all the images onto their computer, and then they'll get it through their backup, whether it's a, secondary on-site backup along
iDrive.
Cloud backup, iDrive, Backblaze, one of those. And they'll keep those images on that card until they know that those files have been thoroughly backed up in multiple places. I get that because that's just a business practice. But once they're done with that and they know everything's properly backed up, you format that card and you keep shooting. So why do people have such a hard time with their phone being the only camera that so many people use? Why can't people get in the habit of just sitting down? Maybe we need a way to make it simpler to transfer or something and just plug that cable in once a week, once every couple of days, send all that media over to your computer or whatever you're using and be done with it.
Or.
So here's where I see a lot of this, and I might be wrong because I usually am, but yep. I know a lot of people keep stuff on their phone because they want to have it at the ready to be able to show. Did I show you a picture of my cat doing this funny thing or blah, blah, blah. Even if they transfer it, they sometimes want to keep that stuff.
Right.
The closer and closer we get to cloud services, why not start offloading some of this stuff?
Exactly.
And then that way you could still access it. Like I've got a lot of stuff saved in my Dropbox. I'll call that up. And it's not stored on my device. Well, temporarily if I pull it down, but it's always accessible.
I do that the same exact thing with Smug Mug, which is, where I host all my images for my website. Same thing. Everything goes there and I have it mobile backup. So all my phone images and videos and everything gets sent up there as well.
Yeah.
So that way I can wipe out my phone and not worry about it.
But if
I want to use it, if I want to show someone like, you got to check out these pictures I got from when Adam and I were wandering around Canal Park. A, you could just go to my website and see I'm slowly trickling those out. But B, I could pull that whole gallery up or all those images and be like, look at these. These are pretty cool.
So you're just more ambitious than most people.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the photographer in me where I've got a workflow in a sense, where a lot of people, right. I guess, don't think of it. But it's just there's so many things you can do rather than spend the extra $400-$600 just to get more storage.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to spend like $600-$700, you'd probably want to go with the iPhone XR. It is the lower cost version of the new ones. It's going to have the more powerful A12 Bionic chip inside of it. And it comes with, all the same stuff the iPhone X line has had, like the Hello Face ID, goodbye to that home button, which honestly, I would miss. I don't know if I'd even go. iPhone X line because I like my home button. I like my physical button.
Although, if for those coming from the Samsung and Android side, a lot of those phones don't have a physical button.
And that's exactly why I like that button, because if you have a software hiccup, crash, etc., those buttons, those haptic, not a physical button, a fake button.
Haptic.
Haptic. They don't work. You have to literally reboot your computer, where I love having that actual physical button.
Right. Well, in fairness, though, I mean, Adam, you can speak to this. You got a 7-something, right?
Yeah.
iPhone 7. I've got the 8 Plus, and there's a home button in theory, but it's not an actual button. It's just a separate touchscreen. It gives you a little click when you push it. It feels like you're pushing a button, but you're not. It's all
software. You're talking about an iPhone?
Yep, iPhone 8 Plus.
Oh, I guess I did not realize that, because I'm still in the 6 world. But
Which is odd, because when your phone's off, all of a sudden the button doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Because it doesn't tap back and make it feel like that.
It's not an actual button, but...
I think the big difference here with this new line of iPhones, you know, it's... How amazed are we going to be by the next iteration of the smartphone? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's got this newer chip, this A12 mm-hmm. Bionic chip. This is the first 7-nanometer chip in a smartphone. It can process 5 trillion operations per second. So that's pretty impressive. Similarly, with their new iWatch, or the Apple Watch Series 4, you know, they've got a new processor. They've got a dual-core 64-bit processor in there.
And that watch is beautiful.
The watch is kind of cool, and they're doing something a little different here.
Yeah.
Which is they will send notification when your heart rate's too low or if your heart rhythm's irregular.
Yep. So they're calling it the ECG, almost like, you know, electrocardiogram is what it is. And
electrosardiogram with a C then, huh?
Sardine. Open some sardines over here. No, the
what guys from Brooklyn love sardines, I guess.
Hey, don't you bogart my sardines.
Get out of the car, would you?
You put some mustard on those?
No, Boston sardine lovers. Yeah.
Sardines are maybe more appropriate for Boston.
Hey, Bostonians, if you're listening, do you love sardines as much as Dave says that you do?
Nah,
let us know in the comments.
They're more into the shrimp and the crabs.
Leave a comment on our web zone.
Yeah. Right on the website. Pull over the car, open the trunk, get that phone out, and give us a little review in Apple Podcast while you're at it. I don't want to. I know we moved on to the Apple Watch. The one thing I was just looking at, Jason, you said that
we moved on to it. We started it. We went off it. We came back. We went off it. We came back.
We're going to come back to that Apple Watch because
we've covered it in excess.
Yeah, this we are thorough this week. But this iPhone XR, it's between the size of an 8 and an 8 Plus. Which I kind of like the little bigger size. I don't know if I could ever go back to a standard size iPhone. I've been using the Plus line for the last 2 phones I've had, and I've just grown so used to having a bigger screen. I really, really like it. This XR line is, you know, very, very interesting, you know, in terms of what they're doing, because it really is giving people that budget. I mean, by budget, we say $750 for the base model.
Oh, that's cheap.
You know, and I'm sure that's like 64 gigs of storage or 128 gigs or something like that. I don't know, but
I think it doesn't even say in the article, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm sure these are all based on the baseline. I mean, when you look at the other two models, the tennis is $1,000.
The
tennis max goes for $1,100. And I'm sure if you order that 512 gig storage phone, you're probably looking at $1,500 for the tennis max. But the XR, though, is interesting that Apple's deciding to release this kind of, for their line, a budget-friendly line, because it harkens back to when they had, do you guys remember the iPhone SE?
Well, yeah.
It was around the time of the 5 and 5S and 6S, all of that. And that
4-inch screen.
Yeah, that phone was extremely popular, and a lot of people will still use it today, you know, unless they've died, but... It's kind of a...
The people died or the phone?
No, the phones. The phones.
Everyone who used this one is dead.
Yeah, it's like the ring of phones. But no, you know, and we talk about the Apple tech.
Phone
but,
ring?
Ringtone? No pun intended. No, but let's not forget that when we look at the newest offerings from Samsung Galaxy phones and the other high-end, you know, it's pretty much a Samsung, I guess. Those phones that they're coming out with will also be around these same price points. So I don't think it's so much the Apple tax anymore as it's just the main phone lines, that the main, you know, competitors in the marketplace, they're just going to charge what they're going to charge because they know people want the biggest and best, and they'll be all in on it. And it's the most popular, which means that's where all the apps are, which means all the interconnectivity between you and I and your friends and parents, mm-hmm. everyone else, it all works seamlessly. So everyone wants to be on that same phone regardless of the cost. So speaking of cost, though, this Apple Watch, now I am intrigued by this because I've been looking for a replacement for my Fitbit. I'm using an old Fitbit Charge.
Love the Apple Watch, dude.
And it is old, and it kind of works still, and I've been using it a little bit still, and it's kind of wonky because it's old and kind of half working. I've reached out with Fitbit's service and support. They've looked at some things and said they can't seem to find a problem, but try this and try this, and I kind of gave up.
AKA user error.
No, it's more to my opinion felt like, AKA, hey, you've got a super old device, just buy a new one, is kind of what their thinking was. Because they've got the Charge HR2, they've got their Versa, they've got their smartwatches, all that stuff. What is the price on this new Apple Watch coming in at?
Well, the GPS version is going to start out at $399, and if you want one that has cellular capabilities where you do not need your phone with you, you can, you have full internet access, you can take and receive phone calls, but you will get a separate phone number. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that when you get a cellular one, you will have a phone number for your watch, and you'll have your regular phone number for your phone. But that's $499.
But how much is the plan, like a data plan?
I believe with the last generation, with the threes, cellular one was, it added $10 to your payment each month.
Is there any reason why you would need that?
There's a few reasons, and I know a person that actually has the three, and they're unlike me, they're athletic. So they go out running.
Sure.
And they enjoy not taking their cell phone with them, so they're not bugged and stuff, because you can turn your ringing music off and stuff on that. And they use it to stream Spotify to their Apple, what do you call them, earbud things, those wireless ones.
AirPods.
And that's what they use it for, is, they use their cellular data for Spotify. And they like it. They just leave their phone at home. They don't have to bring it with them when they're running. I mean, I don't know how much a phone doesn't weigh that much, but I guess it'll take a couple seconds off.
It's more of a fact that when you're working out and you're in, shorts or sweatpants, whatever it is.
Naked.
Well, I don't know many people work.
I run naked.
Yeah, out in public. Everyone else runs too.
get him.
That is Jason helping to do his version of advocating for a healthy lifestyle. Get everyone up and moving, everyone.
Yes. But now, here is the good news for you, though, Dave.
Yeah.
I have the Series 1, and which is really weird because there was a Series 0, which you might not have known, but there's Series 0, Series 1, 2, 3, and now the 4. Mm-hmm. So I have the second generation, and the only reason I got that was because it was on massive sale. And, it was two generations old. So we're seeing a price drop now on the Series 3. It goes down to $279. So that's actually not that bad of a price if you wanted to go one generation old.
Well, and I'm debating what to do, because I'm really seriously thinking about doing one of these. I'm not going to get the cellular. GPS model is for sure something I'd like. I don't mind having a phone with me, but...
And tracking your run is nice.
Yeah, but this ECG function that Adam was mentioning, where it's going to monitor your heart rate, it's also going to be able to notify, like, automatically trigger an option to make an emergency call if you take a hard fall or something, which is kind of cool. It's literally, as the article says here, the old help, I've fallen and I can't get up type of thing. And a lot of people are excited about this for their
life elderly.
Yeah, I mean, people are excited about it, though, for their elderly parents and grandparents or whatever, rightfully so. Little bit of a concern over if you're working out and you're doing something like, say, burpees, where you're up and down, slamming into the ground, whatever's going on, is the phone going to get triggered and be thinking you're falling down, stumbling downstairs, who knows, whatever, and start trying to call, emergency. Hopefully they figure that out.
Oh, I'm doing fine, just doing some burpees.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the big debate, right? $130, $120 difference. For last generation, that's iffy. The heart rate monitoring is very cool with some of the stuff they're doing. However, I have it linked here, and we'll leave it in. So guys, check out the show notes on this. there was an article written, it's over on Medium, by a gentleman named John Mandarola. He's a doctor. And the headline of the article says it all. I'm a heart doctor. Here's why I'm wary of the new Apple Watch.
Wow. He's okay. I can already tell you right now that that's a complete lie.
Why? He's a cardiologist, is what
he Yes,
say.
Because no cardiologist will say, hey, I'm a heart doctor.
No, but this is just.
I take care of your ticker.
This is just the headline grabbing.
Really, Adam? That you no laugh?
I think we Adam? Lost Adam.
Nah, Adam. I'm just kidding. I'm here.
Oh, gee.
I was like, I think we lost him. But no, I think he is saying he's
no,
a
what happened
doctor.
Was I got tricked by my watch into thinking I was in perfect health.
Oh,
and I became reliant on the technology.
There you go. Well, that's exactly true. Kind of what they're worried about, that's you know, and whether this guy
because I'm a heart doctor.
Yeah, I mean, he claims to be a cardiologist, a doctor.
I'm a butt doctor.
He does use the phrase heart doctor many times, which is kind of iffy. But
well, a proctologist would definitely say proctologist instead of butt doctor. That's just why I'm so confused here. I'm a heart doctor.
What else would a gynecologist call themselves? No. Well, what the thing is, though, is the concern he has, I think, is valid because early detection obviously is critical. It can help you be more aware of everything. But the stats they give here, basically talking around about how like roughly, you know, 10% of the time when people have an irregular heart rhythm or anything like that, it'll falsely be labeled as what they call AFib, arterial fibrillation, which doctors will then start testing and treating and everything else. What his concern is, though, is that if you've got, let's say, a million people owning this watch, and 1% of those might actually have AFib, the other 990,000 don't.
Well, they should really tell the truth, though, all the time.
Well,
right. Yeah. I agree.
Well, what that is just an irregular heartbeat where it maybe skips a beat or it beats, you know, it'll go out of sync.
Well, they could probably take some bran or something to fix that.
heart fiber.
heart fiber.
But what they're saying is that if the watch is wrong just 10% of the time, means nearly 100,000 people are going to be needlessly, you know, dealing with anxiety, medical bills for, you know, feeling, you know, thinking they've got something going on when maybe they don't. I mean, look, anytime
lawsuits.
You think you've got something going on, when you're dealing with the heart, go get checked because you don't want to risk it. But it is kind of the idea of, okay, is this tracking so much to the point where people are, like Adam said, going to start relying on the technology, and suddenly we're into that WebMD territory where everyone thinks there's a major problem, yet they really don't have anything wrong, but the anxiety and stress and worry and everything else actually can generate some health issues because stress levels and things like that can impact your health. So kind of an interesting take on it. Something to consider, you know, based on an individual's outlook on stuff. If you're the type of person that will really worry about stuff like that, it may not be the best bet for you.
What do you think if Apple started to lose like some licensing on some of that heart monitoring applications? Mm-hmm. They might just take them away.
Might just take your heart away. Yeah.
Not your heart away, the applications. Just all of a sudden you purchase this application and now it's gone.
No, they didn't just reach into your chest and rip it out when you go to load your favorite application and it's not there anymore.
Pretty much.
What?
Oh, no.
Picture it this way. Say your favorite application was like the new Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, that's a good application.
Okay, and you bought this through iTunes, and then you went into iTunes and it wasn't there. So you contact Apple and you say, hey, where's my movie I just paid $20 for, whatever it cost? And they say, it's not there. It's not our fault. We're not the movie industry. So we'll give you a few free rentals to make up for it. I mean, that'd be kind of like ripping your heart
off. Well, you shouldn't
have
moved to Siberia.
No. No. I love it. Well, that's the big news, right?
I disagree with what their premise is.
Yeah. Apple took some heat. What we're getting at here is that Earlier to mid last week, I think it was, news came out, maybe it was later last week, that iTunes was reportedly, you know, everyone that buys their movies digitally, they had gone in and reportedly just removed the movies and based on the information at that time, it sounded like it was due to them just losing rights with studios and saying, well, we're not in control of that. It's up to the movie studios. And if they don't give us the rights, we can't do it. And it's not our fault. Here's a free rental on us. Well, you're still out your movie. You're still out all that money. And it doesn't even equal what you paid for the movie. So people were rightfully furious. I mean, that's some pretty bad situations when you think about that. But it really seems like maybe not all was quite it was cracked up to be. I mean, the internet did not necessarily tell us the truth. Can you believe it?
What?
Yeah.
I believe everything I read on the internet.
Right. If it's online, it's true generally.
It's got to be. What? Yeah. So what's going on? It appears Apple acknowledged this tweet that went viral about, you know, claiming it can delete movies from your iTunes library.
This just in, an update from Apple acknowledging the tweet. We're going to cut over to Usually Dave for more in-depth reporting.
I just figured we had to do it because we're talking news.
It was. Now, this is something, though, that I haven't heard. I've heard this story all over Twitter, all over Facebook. It's been on multiple podcasts. Look what Apple's doing. Terrible.
MySpace.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere. Terrible Apple, evil corporation. Well, it turns out the guy that lost his movies, I can't remember the order it went, but he either lived in Canada and moved to Australia or something, or vice versa. And when he did that, it switches iTunes stores, iTunes regions. And it says that when you switch regions, not everything will be available. It won't always transfer over because certain movies aren't available in certain countries. And it appears that's what's happened. Now, Apple has gone in, offered him some rentals, like apparently 3 free rentals, which, you know, 3 rentals is starting to get close to what it costs to buy a movie digitally. But, you know, what are you going to do?
That still seems kind of shady to me. I mean, you paid.
Yep. What? Yeah, okay. You did. And they said they are looking at some workarounds, you know, as far as ways that he could possibly switch back to another region store and re-download them and then somehow save them. But I don't know how that works because aren't they saved within the Apple ecosystem anyways? But I'm not quite sure how that works. But that makes a lot of sense where he moved from one side of the world to the other, totally different countries, and had to switch to a different region where maybe those movies weren't available. And now, yeah, those movies aren't there because that country, okay, No one in that country has those movies.
So it wasn't, you know, like, when I first read this, I'm thinking, you know, somehow sometimes Netflix will be like, oh, we're not showing this anymore.
Yep.
You know, yep, because it's no longer part of their deal. And so their movies will kind of cycle in and out, almost kind of like the old Disney vault.
Yep. Yep. And that's exactly how Netflix works. The only difference is you're not buying the individual movies, right, which is why everyone was so upset with this when it went viral. Yeah.
But this is a little different, though.
Yeah, very different. So, guys, you know, listeners, the reason I wanted to add this in here is just to make people aware that, look, not, you know, not a big news flash, not everything that we see on the internet is true, and a lot of times there's much more to the story that is not being released.
This just in.
I mean,
not everything on the internet is true.
It seems to make perfect sense to me that, look, he's, you know, he moved countries. I'm sure that,
wow, I mean, he's strong.
Well, yeah, Netflix, if he moved, you know, his favorites list in Netflix.
He didn't move to another country. He moved countries. Yep,
just like Superman.
Yeah, yeah. So there, I mean, it's not quite all it's cracked up to be, so pump the brakes a little bit on the Apple hate, but
another Will Smith song. You are just willing it up tonight, Dave.
Well,
we're switching, we're pumping the brakes.
Getting jiggy with
it. Is it summertime?
No, summer's ending.
Drums, please.
Hey, but I wanted to point out something. This is not the first time something like this has happened. And as a story broke, everybody was like, oh, they're taking away our stuff, like Dave was saying. I purchased this. Now it's no longer available. It was different because he changed to countries. He moved outside of that region.
Yeah, we covered that.
Yes. But what I'm trying to get to is something happened to me that is much worse than what this gentleman had happened to him, because I lost 100% of all my money.
What? Did you invest in MoviePass?
Yes, I did MoviePass. No, do you remember this service called OnLive?
Yeah.
All right. This was founded back in the early 2000s. I think I got into it probably 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. And what it is, is it was a console, and I got a free console because there was a weekend where they did something anyway, and I purchased a certain amount of games, and I got the console for free. But it's a streaming console. You hooked it up to the internet, to your TV, and you could play PC games streaming over the internet to any television, to your PC itself. And you could have had like a laptop that had integrated 1 megabyte graphics with no 3D acceleration. All it had to do was be able to show video, and you would be able to play these games on it. There was almost no lag. It was pretty cool the way it worked. You pressed your mouse, you pressed your controller if you had a controller hooked up, and it would instantly... What it was there was server farms that were running these actual games on high-end at that time, the early 2000s equipment, and you had a horrible computer. You couldn't play this game, but you would play this on their servers and would just stream the video to you, and it would pick up all your movements and stuff, which was, it was actually really cool at the time. And I'll tell you where this technology went. Sony purchased OnLive and then shut the sucker down. I had purchased some full price games, but I had purchased the majority of my games were on sale for like $5, $3, just like I do with on Steam. But I probably had 40 games. Maybe a little bit more. Sony bought it. They shut the service down. They rolled it into their PlayStation Now for their PlayStation system. That's where it went. They used that technology to actually do PlayStation Now on the PlayStation system, and this became defunct. So everybody that had purchased all these games on this OnLive service lost everything.
That sucks.
Yeah, it did suck, and I just wanted to point it out to Mr. Canada to Sweden or whatever you said. Hey, you know what? Just change your region. Get your damn thing back. I can't get my stuff back.
Yeah, here's what we say about that.
What?
Wow. Was that actually you?
No.
It was probably real. Yeah. No.
That's what I'm guessing.
He had Chipotle for lunch today.
Oh. No. Guys, let's switch this up a little bit.
Whoa, another Will Smith.
Because we're talking about gaming and online stuff and failures, but let's talk about something that's a possible win. The Nintendo Switch finally going online and including NES classic titles and wireless NES controllers.
I call this a massive fail. I'm just going to say that right now. Massive fail.
Okay.
Tell us the news and then I'll rant a little.
It's actually really cool news because when the Switch first came out, everybody
just kidding.
Everybody kept asking Nintendo, are you going to have a virtual store, a virtual console store?
Virtual console, yep.
And they kept on saying, we have no plans.
Yep.
No plans for it. So, a lot of early Switch adopters, they just thought they would never see this. Well, the day has come. Well, it hasn't launched yet, but the day is coming that Nintendo Switch will be offering lots of NES classic titles, and it looks like more than they've ever offered on any other console. The interface looks sweet. You definitely got to click the link to take a look at what we're talking about here. I want to say, Nintendo, I was pretty harsh on you when we did our little talk about you shutting down some of our ROM sites, and how, hey, if you're going to do this, make sure you have all your games available. Don't say, hey, we can only play 30 games, that's it, and you can never download a ROM, and all these other games are out, buried with E.T. in that, the desert or something? Yeah. But no, they're bringing tons of NES classic games to the Switch. They say they're adding more all the time. And I don't have a list of all the games that they're doing to launch, but there's a lot of games in there, and they're not all AAA titles, which is nice. You're finally going to be able to get some of that might have been some of your favorites, but didn't sell, a million copies back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So Nintendo, hey. I'm glad you're doing this. I was a little harsh on you. Thank you. Thank you for actually doing this and keeping classic gaming going. But please don't scare all the ROM sites, because we still got to get our Sega. We still got to get our N64. You'll probably do something with that soon. But we still got to get our TurboGrafx-16. So, hey, take it easy, all right? We'll buy these, but take it easy on the others.
Let's hear Dave's hate, because he just bought an NES Classic, so I'm guessing that has something to do with it. Go.
Well, a little bit, because here's the thing. Everything I understand about this, it is cool that they're doing it. I'm not going to say it's terrible $20 a month to be able to do this, $3.99 a month or $20 a year. That's not bad. Now, the thing I don't like about this, from everything I've heard, all the games that are going to be on here are going to be strictly the NES original titles. So it's not going to be third-party games.
Currently, yes.
Yeah, but they're talking all just the NES stuff. Now, the thing I don't understand is that they still are saying they are not going to do a virtual console. This is strictly an online service, which Nintendo's history with online is terrible.
Horrible. Yes.
What are the chances they get this right? That's my first concern. This, to me, just seems like a setup for failure. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Not to mention now, you can find the Switch. It's not super easy to find. Or not the Switch, excuse me, the NES Mini, the classic.
Yeah, you can really find the Switch everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you can. Yeah, the NES Mini Classic, though, you're starting to be able to find those more and more frequently. And all the games that they're releasing, there are a few that are not on. They don't have all the exact same games. But in all reality, most people are not going to dive in for hours and hours. They're not buying a Switch to play these games. And I don't know that they even care about many of these games. Even the NES Classic, it's a nostalgia play. It's fun to jump into now and then. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the market for what they're trying to do, because they want to put a lot of their major titles like Splatoon 2, Mario Kart 8, a lot of those features behind a paywall for online users. Okay, fine. You know, you want to be able to play online. Most systems are doing that. Xbox has their Xbox Live service, etc. But to me, it just seems so backwards that why you own these games already. Nintendo has all of this. They could figure it out simply. Why not put the whole catalog right there in one bundle? Let people just buy them so they don't have to deal with the riskiness of Nintendo Online. To me, that's the part that I can't get over, is that Nintendo is notoriously terrible with their online services, and I have no reason to think this is going to be any different. And the chances are that you're going to be paying $20 a month. Maybe you've got some other games you want to play, and you want to go in and play a little Excitebike for a while, and who knows if it's even going to work, when you could spend a one-time cost of $60. You could get your 30 games or whatever it is on an NES Classic, if you can get your hands on one, and be set, or go the RetroPie route. I know Nintendo isn't going to want to hear that, but
no.
You know, I would say this. I mean, until they prove it different, I'll be happy to say if they get this right and they knock it out of the park, I'll be the first one cheering them on, saying, hey, excellent job, well done. You know, but until then, they've got to prove it to me. I feel like this is just a case of them trying to justify something and trying to appease people, when really it's just, I think it's a train wreck in the making. Now, the other side of it, I guess it makes sense. They've got these sweet new NES Classic controllers that will stick onto the side of the Switch for charging, everything else. These awesome,
they look
new
cool,
controllers.
Don't
yeah.
they?
In order to even be able to buy them, you have to be subscribed to this online service. You cannot just buy these in the store. They are part of the online service. In order to buy them, you have to, from everything I've seen, you have to be paying that $20 a year, $4 a month, whatever it is. Now, granted, you're probably only going to get these if you're going to be playing those old classic games. That's probably the likelihood of that. But what do you think is going to happen? People are going to start buying these controllers at $60 a pop for a set of two, and eBay is going to be flooded with $150 controller sets that no one can get because they just want the controller for whatever reason, and Nintendo just won't sell it to them unless they subscribe to a service. That, to me, just... I get it because they're made for the games as part of the service. I understand that. But to me, it seems like they're kind of just holding people hostage a little bit and playing games where they don't need to be playing games with stuff like that. Just really.
Well, technically, that's when they're in the business.
Yeah, I see the irony there. But
Dave's on a rampage tonight.
If you're going to.
He's not
do
even
it,
Dwayne Johnson.
Exactly. I mean, if you're going to release something, just release it. Let people buy it. Let your fans buy the stuff they want to buy. Because I guarantee you, there are a lot of people that just are looking at these controllers going, hey, these are pretty sweet looking controllers. I remember these from being a kid. Let me have one. Let me buy a set. You know, I'd love to play some of my current Switch stuff with it, you know, which wouldn't necessarily work, but
I don't think it'll function with current Switch. I don't think it has the proper button configuration.
Yeah, they don't have the configurations, but
it only has the two buttons, Dave. Adam. Sorry, I don't know
your
voice.
It's a classic NES controller. The A and B controller.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the classics won't work at the current Switch games, right?
Right? Yeah. But yeah, but you can buy, from what I understand, I don't own a Switch. Nintendo, you can send me one if you want. But if you look in the store, from what I understand, you can buy some of the other third party games like SNK, you know, some of those games. You can buy some of the classic games there, which this controller would work just fine for. But they won't sell it to them.
Can I jump in here real fast?
Sure. I'll stop ranting now. I'm taking up enough time.
Well, I want to play a little devil's advocate here with your, you know, a couple of your points.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is not really devil's advocate, but I want to play off of what you said. So what I think I'm hearing Dave from the Digital Suit Podcast saying here is if Nintendo ever released an NES Classic 2 with the ability to connect to the internet and purchase additional games of their choice for, say, $1 a game, that is what you think. That is what you would like, and you think a lot of people would like.
Oh yeah,
I'd more games to that system.
Sure, I'd go one step further and say, you know what? Release the updated Gen 2 of the NES Classic. Don't even worry about the online. Let me buy for $15 or $20 a equivalent of an SD card that has the official Nintendo launch volume 1, 2, 3, 4, however many it takes to get through that whole library. Let me spend $15-$20 on the ones I want, get the games I want, and just plug them in and play. You'll yeah. make the same money, and it'd be probably more user friendly.
Yeah, except, you know, maybe the loss of the cartridges because they're so teeny.
Yeah, but that's not much different than
it's the same as a Switch right. Cartridges. Yeah. All right, now let me hit my point two here. Now, this is more devil's advocate here for Nintendo, you know, against Dave. Dave versus Nintendo, round two.
Dave is an idiot.
All right, so here's what we got here. You're like, well, who even wants to play NES Classics on the Switch? They'd rather do it on the NES Classic console. I'm going to say number one is portability. They're going to be able to play this on a train plane. They're going to be able to play their classic games there. But the biggest news that we have not even talked about here is that Nintendo has programmed into some, not all of them, but some of the games online two-player play.
Yeah.
That is something that is you know, never been available on NES games outside of emulation. There's been some emulators that have dabbled with this in the past. But now two Switch owners in two different states can play head-to-head Mario.
Great. Yeah,
that's not really head to head, but you know, you have to wait while they play and then you get to play. And
great.
Okay,
now
we'll
say
Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah,
Tecmo
now I can get schooled in Tecmo Bowl by a 10-year-old also, like I can in Madden.
But yes. It is a cool feature. That is something added to games that have never had that ability before.
Yeah.
So that is pretty cool.
Now, here's a question for you. One thing I'm not clear on, with these games being they're part of an online service, do they download to your device? So you can actually play them offline?
Okay, being in the emulation world, I know how small these games are. They're about 5K, 5 mm-hmm. to like 10K. That is like a millisecond of download. So they could probably just download for every play and then just immediately erase once you exit out of the game. They don't have to reside on your console.
Right.
But if they needed to, they would take up hardly any space at all.
Right.
I don't know. The portability
might be the question there because you know the train example.
If you have to connect to the internet just to do the
Nintendo Online, which, like I said, funny you're on a train because I think it'll be a train wreck like all of Nintendo's online. But I mean,
well, you know, they got to get it right sometime. They had it. I think their very first online. They had 56K modem that you could plug into the GameCube, mm-hmm. if you remember right back in the day.
Yep.
But they still didn't really have anything implemented. The original Wii
mm-hmm.
dabbled with it, but it was still horrible. The Wii U actually was pretty bad too, if I remember right. So hopefully the Switch, they'll get it right, but who knows. The DS, I've had several DSs, and now I have the 2DS XL. They all, you can download your games online and stuff. There's a small little community, but it is nothing like what the PlayStation and the Xbox environments are. I mean, those are full-fledged, you know, it's a real world out there where this is like, I'm in a little neighborhood, you know, where the other ones are like the full world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I that mean, makes it, any it makes sense to you. And that's the thing. I don't want to come across as a Nintendo hater because I love Nintendo. I've grew up with their games and I still enjoy their games, you know, now. It's just I hope they can get it right, and I'm not convinced yet. It's not so much a rant of anti-Nintendo. It's more of a, you know what, prove it to me first kind of. And they did with the Switch. The Switch has been fantastic. I'll give them that. I don't own one. I'd love to have one.
Gangbusters. Yeah. It's selling like mad.
But the, you know, these retro controllers are a big deal. Now, we have a little news about retro controllers, don't we?
Do we?
Do we?
I think we do.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
I think I have a little bit to do with it. Oh, Leisure Suit Larry, the original Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. So Jason, yes. Tell us about this thing you're
right.
talking about.
What Dave and Adam are teasing right now is we are very excited to announce that the Digital Suit Podcast and the 8-Bit Dough Company are coming together to do a little giveaway sweepstakes type thing.
Right.
Us here at Digital Soup, Jason, Dave, and Adam, we want to thank our loyal listeners for listening to us every week, putting up with us, because, you know, I got to say, you know, sometimes Adam's not on par, you know, he's a little bit, just kidding.
Well, he didn't even talk during that whole Nintendo segment.
Yeah.
I just sat back and ate popcorn.
He probably did. He had himself on mute, just nodding once in a while.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But we want to thank everybody that does listen to us, and we want to entice some new subscribers too. So what we've done, we have partnered with the 8-Bit Dough Company for an incredible giveaway where we are going to give one lucky listener an 8-Bit Dough N30 2.4 gigahertz wireless controller, which is made specifically for the NES Classic Edition, which Dave has, and yeah. Dave loves, and he wants
better not win it.
No, I can't.
Dave is ineligible to win. I'm sorry. He's part of the show.
He's illegitimate.
He is that too. So what we're doing here, and the rules are so simple. All we want is for you to go to Apple Podcasts, rate, subscribe, and leave us a review. Take screenshots of each step. So you're going to have three screenshots. Well, probably two, because once you leave the 5-star rating and then you leave the review doesn't pop up right away. It like takes a day or so. So give us a screenshot, and I have some examples here in the material we're going to be putting on the website and probably other places like Twitter and stuff. But we need you to hit that subscribe button. We need you to give a 5-star rating and then leave us a review. And we're going to give you not one, but we're going to give you two chances to win.
Yeah.
And how you're going to do this is you're going to go on over to Twitter. You are going to post your subscription and rating review screenshots with a hashtag of, and it's listed right here so you can type it correctly, but hashtag Digital Soup 8-Bit Dough. And that will enter you then into it. Dave, who is the Twitter master, will be monitoring all Twitter traffic.
Oof. Okay.
Correct, Dave?
I will
Twitter master?
Yep, I will keep an eye
TM.
On
TM?
You have to use that hashtag, though, guys.
Yes, use that hashtag, and like I said, it's going to be on our way. You're going to see it ad nauseum, and we're going to have it everywhere, all right? We're going to get this sucker trending. Now, you can also go to our Facebook page, the Digital Soup Facebook page. We are going to have the announcement on there. All you have to do is comment on that announcement with your images, and that will be a second entry for you if you do both of them.
Yep. So now, one for Facebook, one for Twitter, two entries, easy to win.
Double the chances.
Yep.
Double your fun.
Amazing.
Exactly. Now, this contest is going to be running from today, which is September 18th, 2018, all the way through October, right to Halloween, the scary day. Adam's that is Adam calls that his Christmas, by the way. He loves Halloween.
What? Yes, yes.
I don't know. I'm just making it up. But it's going through Halloween, and then we will pick on the show on November 6th. We will randomly pick that entry and announce who the winner is, which will then be posted on both Twitter and Facebook so everybody can see. Entrants, they must be subscribed to the Digital Soup Podcast at the time of the drawing to be eligible. We do not want you to subscribe and then cancel right away.
Right.
Wait until you get your prize, then cancel.
No, don't cancel. Stick around.
Yeah, stick around, because we got lots of great content, not just a fantastic controller that 8-Bit Dough creates. I think out of the three of us here, I'm the only one that has an 8-bit DOE controller. I have the 8-bit DOE SF30, I believe is what it's called. And it is a dual analog stick mock-up of the NES, the Super Famicom with the colored buttons. And I love that controller. This controller looks amazing. We have images up on that is going to be up about this. It has turbo buttons for A and B, and one of the nicest things here, which Dave lacks, but he sits so close to it, it doesn't matter. But there's a home button. You're in a game. You're playing a little bit of Zelda, and you're like, I want to play Super Mario Brothers. Well, on this 8-bit DOE controller, you hit the home button. You're back at the home screen.
Whoa.
Dude, that is like modern technology, dude.
I love technology.
Yeah, I like technology, too. Sweet. So, yep, this is the big Digital Soup 8-Bit DOE sweepstakes. We want you all to subscribe. We want to give one lucky winner this controller. So we're hoping to get lots and lots of responses. Not just one response, because then, well, yeah, I guess he's really lucky then. Or she.
Are we going to have an article on digitalsouppodcast.com outlining how to win?
We will. And you know what? I think I might make a little video on how to do it, too.
Amazing.
Good idea. I know. I'm awesome. Yeah.
Heck, this is pretty cool, though. We've been working on this for a while, and the people over at 8-Bit DOE were super kind to step into this with us and hook us up with a sweet controller to give away to our listeners.
Indeed.
I'm excited.
I highly recommend their controllers, and they have a wide variety. If you go to the website right now, they have probably 30 new controllers coming out this holiday season. I'm not even joking you. I was on their website earlier today. Tons of brand new controllers they have coming out of all shapes and sizes for every type of system. It's amazing. This company does retro awesomely.
So what time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
You're just thinking about some Daisy Dukes, aren't you? Or some Boss Hog. I don't know what your preference is, really.
I don't know.
You're just thinking about Burt Reynolds because he played Boss Hog in the movies, right?
That's right. He did.
He did.
So we're down to, what do we need to do? Two more of these?
One more. This is bracket? This is the last one. Last matchup of round one. And it's a special one.
This one is special. Dave, you want to explain why?
Yeah, so our good friend of the show and listener, super friend from Twitter, known as, is it MW Map Boy, Adam? I think that's right.
Yes, that's correct.
What's the MW stand for?
I don't know. I'm guessing Midwest.
Midwest?
Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Midwest Map Boy? So there's like a Southeast Map Boy, too?
Could be.
Manwich. North, Central? Manwich. Manwich.
Manwich. Oh, Manwich. Oh, I love Manwich.
Loves a good Sloppy Joe. Maybe that mm-hmm. could be it. But he actually hit me up on Twitter and said, hey, Digital Soup, what about this? A listener-submitted super fight. And he goes, you know, he wants to know who will win. And we're going to have the image in the show notes here, so go and check that out. And he's got an image. He was out mountain biking, and there's a signpost that the sign literally says Ninja Beaver. And on his bike that is leaning against the signpost, he's got a sticker on his bike that says Karate Monkey. So he wants to know who will win between a Ninja Beaver and a Karate Monkey.
Mm. Now, all why would a sign say Ninja Beaver?
I have no idea. Maybe it's vicious ninjutsu loving beavers here in, you know, wherever he was biking, somewhere here in the Midwest. But I mean, I thought it was pretty good. And I said, hey, guys, we've got one last slot for this first round. Let's see if we can get a listener submitted. Let's do it. This was awesome. We'll see who goes on. Map Boy, I don't know if you've got a favorite in this fight. I mean, Karate Monkey was your bike, I assume, but will this Ninja Beaver take on
that's actually
Monkey?
A brand of bike, Karate Monkey?
I don't know.
It might have been a sticker for all we know.
Yep, okay. Could have been a sticker. So all we need to do is choose the two scenarios for each one. And who was debating this time again?
You two.
Okay.
Adam versus
Rattle
Dave.
And Hum.
So, Jason, why don't you...
That's not nice. Speaking of you two, did you know? I'm just kidding.
Jeez, there goes another hour.
I'm just kidding.
Uno, dos, tres, catorce.
I do have the cards. Right. I will be drawing. But first, we got to figure out who's Ninja Beaver and who's Donkey Punch.
Flip a coin, virtual coin, Adam, call it in the air.
Okay. Or who's flipping the coin?
Jason is.
Okay, I'm flipping the coin, call it
heads.
You got to finish it. I don't know what hat is.
I said heads.
Oh, okay. You must have.
Yeah. So heads right. was.
It is
beaver.
Heads.
Okay. So Adam's okay, a ninja beaver. I guess I'm a Whoa. Karate monkey.
All right.
That's hilarious. All right. So let's go ahead and pick out the first card. And this is for which one am I doing this one for?
Ninja beaver.
Adam. Ninja beaver. Okay. Ninja beaver is. Armed with a lightsaber.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes.
That is awesome. It's over now. A lightsaber does everything.
Well, let's see what Karate Monkey's got.
All right, so Karate Monkey can teleport.
Ooh, crap.
That's interesting. All right, let's go on to the second ability. And this is for Ninja Toad?
Yeah, Ninja Toad. Ninja Beaver.
Okay. Ninja Beaver is... literally afraid of his own shadow. All right. And Karate Hamster, I don't know, I'm just having fun, has no depth perception.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Okay, so the Adam, because I don't know what your characters
Adam's
are.
Adam's a beaver.
Okay, Adam's a beaver, is armed with a lightsaber, but is afraid of his own shadow. And Ninja Monkey, or whatever it was.
Karate Monkey
can teleport, but has no depth perception.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fight!
Man.
Okay, who's going first?
Don't matter to me, guys.
All right. Well, you got to pick who, you know, you did heads and you got to pick who you were. So we'll have Dave go first.
Oh, okay. Man. All right.
Bring it on, Karate Monkey.
He's armed with a lightsaber, but afraid of his own shadow. So first thing I'm going to do is fight him in the daylight. And so here we are.
Good job.
Bright sunny day. That Ninja Beaver's shadow is stretching out long behind him. So I'm going to go do my little Karate Monkey dance just far enough away where he can't swat at me with that lightsaber and taunt him into coming at me. And then I don't know how close he is, so I gotta stay a ways away. I mean, I have no depth perception, so I can't quite tell, you know? So I've got to just hope he stays far enough away. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to teleport. As he starts getting angry and coming at me, I'm just going to do this over and over till he loses his mind with anger and just rushes. But I'm going to teleport to the other side real quick. So as he turns around, he sees his own shadow as I pop up behind him, and he freaks out. And then I'm going to teleport back, get him angry, keep popping back and forth, and eventually this Ninja Beaver is just going to be straight up confused. He might even cut his own arm off as he's spinning around with a lightsaber. He sees that shadow starts flailing wildly. I'm teleporting right back behind him. I'm going to karate chop him in the neck because you got to do that. And then when he's the final blow, you're going to see Daniel-san, the crane kick off a branch because I'm a monkey and can hang up there. Crane kick off the branch to this Ninja Beaver's huge front teeth as his eyes are wide, staring into his shadow, and he's terrified. Boom, lights out, Ninja Beaver.
That's a nice fairy tale, Dave.
It is.
So
let me tell you a story.
Ninja Beaver, he may be afraid of his own shadow. That's why he only operates at night. And when it's daytime, he will lure you into his beaver dam. Where it's perfectly dark.
Ooh, so I got to go underwater. No,
yep.
And then crawl through a hole. Yep.
Now, there is a possibility that this fight could end in a tie because Karate Monkey tries to teleport behind Ninja Beaver and teleports into him because he has no depth perception.
What if he opens
it? But this isn't the Vikings and Packers. Yeah.
I've got a new theory when you're done. I just thought of something.
Round two.
All right. So.
So far, I'm lured into the dark.
You're lured into the dark where the ninja master has the same karate skills as the monkey, but also has additional murder techniques.
Mm.
Straight dark ninjutsu techniques. He's got throwing stars. He's got the lightsaber, of course, which he can ignite and instantly cut Karate Monkey in half. The only thing Karate Monkey's got is teleportation, but honestly, with no depth perception, he's really all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So like a ultimately... monkey. Even if it was a skilled draw, at some point it will be nighttime where the Ninja Beaver's skills will take over, for he is a creature of the darkness and also likes to chew on a world.
Well, here's a question. Two questions. Lightsabers light up I don't care if we're in the dark, it's casting a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true. Okay. But the shadow's behind him.
I just thought of that. That's fine.
The shadow's behind him, though.
I thought of that. Now, what happens when we teleport? We saw it in Infinity War. They cut off a guy's hand via teleportation, closing mm-hmm. the portal on him. This monkey is going to inadvertently win without even trying. He's more of a drunken monkey, Jackie Chan fight style. And, you know, he's going to be standing there wobbling around, chattering like a monkey. He's going to think he's fancy luring that ninja beaver in, try and teleport and accidentally teleport right into him. That teleportation hole is going to come blazing open right through the middle of that beaver, and he's going to just split down the middle, two sides, lightsaber falls, no empty cloak like Obi-Wan. We're talking straight up, sliced in half, fights over before it begins. Crazy drunken karate monkey goes and finishes his jug of, you know, karate monkey booze. And sits up in a tree.
I don't know. Because the teleportation, I mean, you're assuming that he can teleport into something and break something apart.
I'm just assuming rather than
fuse directly and become some kind of karate monkey ninja beaver
hybrid. What if he teleports right into the middle of that ninja beaver? And like karate kicks himself out.
What if they're completely fused at that point and now they're like conjoined twins or something almost.
Oh boy.
Or there's a weird monkey beaver head with I don't know.
And that beaver is scared of a shadow but can't tell how far away it is. That's a tough one.
that would be brutal.
I mean, I'm kind of worried, Adam. I mean, I know we want a winner. Jason's got to decide ultimately. I mean, if he teleports into him, chances are he just explodes. But if they fuse somehow, this could be
it's
our first legitimate tie where we get a karate ninja beaver monkey with a lightsaber that can teleport, even though he's afraid of a shadow and can't see any how far away anything is.
It's almost like I kind of think that the karate monkey, you know, is.
I think if he wins,
he probably kicks a lot like Daniel Carlson
with his wide reception.
He's not sure where to go.
Well, that's the only reason. That's the only thing I can think of on how he wins, because he's gonna misjudge that depth, and he's either gonna pop up right into the lightsaber, or he's gonna pop up right in the middle of that beaver and win by accident.
Either way, this is bananas.
This is a tough.
I don't know. Jason,
you literally
got
the lightsaber is what I think really gives you the edge
here, and that's kind of what I'm going to head at here as the judge's decision. All right, so again, I don't know if it's a ninja rat or a karate elf. I'm not sure exactly what. So I'm just going to go, Dave. Unfortunately, your two abilities are not considered weapons in the least. There is nothing there that can do anything. You can teleport around. Maybe you can save yourself from things, possibly, but you have no depth perception, so you're probably running into walls, you know, as you're teleporting, or you're teleporting, you know, over a hole that goes to, you know, China, you know, something. I mean, it's just, you don't have any weapons.
I mean, I feel like that's something I overlooked, though, when we think about it. Because if I just teleport away, that ninja will never catch me. He can't win.
But then there's no fight.
I know.
But yes, but there is no winner or loser then, and there must be a winner and a loser.
True.
So let me jump over here to Adam. All right, so he's armed with a lightsaber. That's that's a massive benefit right there.
He already knows how to use a sword being a ninja too. So it's
and easy. I mean this lightsaber, I mean, you know, to actually use a lightsaber, you have to have the Force, am I correct?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Finn Han Solo used one.
Yep, and Finn used it, a version of a lightsaber brief. Well, he used, what's her name's lightsaber brief?
Which episode was Finn in?
The last two.
Seven.
Okay, I'm basing this on 4, 5, and 6. Now, you need to have the Force.
So Han Solo used a lightsaber to cut open a Tauntaun in Empire Strikes Back.
Yep. Okay. So you do not need to have the Force to use a lightsaber.
Only to make one.
I should have let you win that argument. Yeah. Yes.
But here's something that Dave kept, you know, bringing this up over and over again, because your second ability is a hindrance, but not that much. It says you're literally afraid of your own shadow. It does not say you are terrified of your own shadow, so terrified that you cannot, do anything. You know, you're just frozen in fear. It doesn't say anything about that. It just says you're afraid of your shadow. I'm afraid of a lot of things, but I can still function. I'm afraid of a tornado coming at me. I'm not going to stand there and just look at it as it engulfs me. I'm going to get the heck out of there. So you're afraid of your shadow, but it's not going to stop you from the fight. You are still going to fight. You're going to be a little bit afraid. You're going to have your adrenaline going, which is going to help you in the long run. But you are an adrenaline pumping, you know, lightsaber armed ninja.
Oh, let's just call him Aaron Rodgers then. That's what
he was taken out early in the game, was 21-0, and then come back to win.
That's what he said. He was not high on painkillers. He was just on adrenaline.
He was high on adrenaline.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I was high on adrenaline.
Yeah, they must have shot it straight into his heart. Anyways.
but looking at the four attributes here, I'm gonna have to give this to Karate Hamster?
Karate Monkey.
Whatever Adam is.
Ninja Beaver.
Wow.
You just spent all that time saying why the monkey loses and you're going to give it to him? What's going on here?
No, the Ninja Beaver, armed with a lightsaber, is afraid of his own shadow but can still, you know, is not terrified or frozen in fear, is using that adrenaline to help beat this nearsighted teleporting hamster, whatever you said it was.
All right.
Monkey.
Monkey. Jeez, so I am saying the winner of this battle is Adam.
Nice. Yeah. Woo.
Nice.
And Dave is like, oh, yeah, whatever.
No,
my
I'm
teleport
not.
Nearsighted beast can
I,
do it.
I feel like I literally, yes, I can teleport, but the no depth perception for a martial artist, it's all about hand-to-hand combat, and a guy swinging a lightsaber at you, I feel like that's not going to end well.
No.
Even though he doesn't have any opposable fingers or thumbs.
Yeah.
Disposable?
How does a beaver hold a lightsaber in his teeth?
Yeah.
Huh. I'm picturing that now.
But he's a ninja. He knows how to do it.
Yeah, I'm picturing a beaver in a ninja outfit. Do you think they cover, you know, like those ninja, the quiet shoes they wear, the slipper type shoes?
Yeah, the tabby shoes.
Do you think they put that on his tail? Ooh. So like it doesn't slap on the water? Like he'll just slap his tail angrily, but it's just like a silent.
He really quietly takes down trees.
He like nibbles so quietly.
So you turn around, suddenly there's a beaver dam. You're like, where did that come from?
I love the fact that this was listener submitted though, because we've got listeners involved now in our bracket. And so I'm going to run through this. We're going to make up the, I'm going to move through the brackets, get everything situated on who's facing who based on the seeds and everything else. Simple seeding is just going to be 1 through 16, you know, first to last. That's all it is. Not rated or anything, but we've got 100 crazy cat ladies with acid blood. We've got Amish Darth Vader on a jet ski. We've got a Spartan trapped in a potato sack that can summon anything from a hardware store. I sure hope that fights a Ninja Beaver. We've got a 6-inch tall Miley Cyrus. Oh, no, excuse me. A flaming marshmallow man riding a battle cat. A fire-breathing meatloaf trapped in an antique diver's helmet. Adam's two little rascals in a trench coat with magnetic powers armed with a trident. Mm-hmm. And a mad scientist that can turn to steel whose hands are covered in butter. And then the Ninja Beaver armed with a lightsaber. That is who is afraid of his own shadow. That is all of our winners moving forward into round two.
Ooh, what will happen?
I want to know who the listeners' favorites are. Like, who do they think are going to take this tournament?
Yeah, we'll have to publish this.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to change it up a little bit for the next round, because I think Meatloaf needs to actually be physically the food Meatloaf.
No, that doesn't make sense.
It just sits there being delicious. Hey.
Yes. Breathing fire. It's like really spicy Meatloaf.
Is that a cooked ketchup on you? What
is that? No, it is a ghost pepper sauce. No. Suck on that, right, two little guys. Rascals in a trench coat.
So before we put the lid on the soup, stick around afterwards to hear our unsigned music spotlight, because this week we are bringing you a band called Elevation Falls, and the song is called Zombie. Now, this is an Irish rock band, and their sound is classic to hard rock mingled with blues and soul, and their performance is full of movement. From raging foot-stomping beats to epic drama, they sweep audiences along with them on a musical journey. Fronted by the incredibly powerful and unique vocal talents of singer-songwriter Hazel Jade.
What a great name.
Their warrior queen. HJ formed the band in late 2012 and has been likened in ability to many great female singers by a number of industry professionals such as Pat Benatar and Ann Wilson of Heart. You will not mistake her vocal for any other artist. So stick around. Check that out for show.
Yeah.
The three of us here at Digital Soup want to thank you for listening. Of course, check out our site at digitalsouppodcast.com and be sure to look for the article outlining how to win that 8-bit dough controller. So we're going to have that up there. And of course, all the rest of our content. To contact us, anything, just head over to digitalsouppodcast.com. Keep in mind, you can listen to us or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to subscribe and leave us a review if you'd be so kind, especially on Apple Podcasts. And we'd love it if you told a friend about us. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you, stay safe, have an awesome week. We'll catch you next time. D to the S to the out.
Take care, guys.
Later, karate squirrels.
That's just nuts.